Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. How are you today? Good morning. It's good to be here with you. Good morning to you. Welcome to Madrid in Inglés, Madrid in English. I'm Richard Vaughn. I'm here to help you. Well, not to help you with your English. I'm here to expose you to my language in the hopes that you will benefit from that and your listening comprehension will improve. Little by little, step by step, slowly but surely. And courtesy of Onda Madrid, my good friends in Telemadrid y Onda Madrid, I'm here every Sunday from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning to speak to you about Madrid. About Madrid and about the province or community of Madrid. And I use my life experience in Madrid as the guide. It's taking me through. So I started last October, I think October 6th. I can't remember. I think it was the first Sunday in October. And starting in 1972, moving forward through the years of my experiences in Madrid and in Spain. And how I began simply as a student when I came here on a junior year, my third university year in Texas. I came here to spend that year in Spain, what here in Spain you call un programa Erasmus. And I spent a year in Madrid. I enjoyed it when I was 20 and 21. I turned 21 that year. And then I returned to Texas and finished my studies with a double degree in Spanish literature, language and literature, and in philosophy, Humanidades por un tubo, humanities. And then I decided to return to Spain with the initial idea of spending 2 years here to perfect my mastery of the Spanish language, with the objective of returning to Texas to start a doctorate, un doctorado, in Spanish literature. But in order to get by, in order to make ends meet, in order to pay the rent, in order to eat, I needed to make money. I needed to earn money. To make money, to earn money. Se usan los dos verbos, to make and to earn. To make money es más como empresario. To earn money es más como devengas, como currante. Okay. To earn money, but both are correct. And so I needed to start making money. And so the easiest job was to start teaching English. And I learned very quickly, very, very quickly, in a question of 1 hour. The very first class I gave in my life to Señor Melero, Mr. Melero, an architect. I was 22 and he was 45, more or less 45. And I learned that during that hour what Spanish students like. And because he made a big mistake. And at the beginning of the class, and I corrected him. And he thanked me. And so I continued to correct him. And at the end of the class, Mr. Melero said, "Es tu primera clase hoy, ¿a que sí? Tú eres novato." I said, "Yes." Pues me gustó. He said, I liked it. I said, "Oh, qué alivio. What a relief." Escrito relief. Qué alivio en inglés is what a, con artículo. What a relief. What a relief. What a relief. He said, "Me has corregido, you corrected me." Estamos encima. Yeah, okay. So I learned that being on top of the student, being a very proactive teacher, correcting and reorienting, at least Mr. Melero liked it. And I continued to use that style. And that's the style that characterizes El Método Vaughan, the famous Vaughan method in Spain. It's teacher protagonist. The teacher is the king of the classroom, the leader, leadership in the classroom, but llevando la voz cantante, calling the shots, se dice calling the shots, and running the show. There are many ways to say llevar la cantante o dirigir el cotarro, as you say in Spanish. We say to call the shots, to run the show, to be in charge. Yes, to manage the class and to lead the class. And so I ended up realizing that I had a business, a budding business. Budding is un negocio en ciernes, and it was lucrative. And so I stayed in a couple of more years, and finally I stayed until now. Life sentence, cadena perpetua. Para decir cadena perpetua, we say life sentence, sentencia de vida o vital. Life sentence. Living here in Spain. And then I got married at the end of 1977. I have two children, Andrea and Jack. Andrea was born in 1980 in July, and Jack, my son, in 1984. In May is Tauro. All right. And right now, as I'm speaking to you, it is now, we're in the month of March. And so I've been doing this for October, November, December, January, February, March. This is my sixth month. My sixth month. My God, half a year almost. Almost half a year. And so congratulations, Richard. Well, thank you very much. And I plan to continue indefinitely. Yes, I'm going to live forever. That's my plan. Well, that's not my plan. I was told. Well, that's my conclusion. My conclusion is I'm going to live. No, really, I think I will live for about 150, 160 years. Because about 5 years ago, God came down and spoke to me. Bajo Dios y me habló. And God said to me, I said, Richard, yes, God, you will die someday. And I said, well, I know that. No problem. Don't worry. No tengo asimilado. I mean, I have that. That's part of my plan, to die someday. And he said, yes, but you will die when Spanish people speak English well. Ah. And so I said, my God. Well, some people speak Spanish well. Some Spanish people speak English well now. He said, yes, but it's still a very small minority. When the vast majority, la expresión en español, la inmensa mayoría, in English, decimos la vasta con V, la vasta mayoría. When the vast majority of Spanish people speak English well, then you will die. I said, oh, gosh, fantastic. That means I'll live forever. I said, no. the English will improve thanks to you and many other elements, of course, not only me. And so my conclusion, perhaps I'll live to 150 if what God told me is correct. So I plan to stick around for a while, to stay around, to stick around. To stick around means quédate por aquí, no te vayas. Decimos stick. Stick como pegar. Pegajoso. Sticky is pegajoso. And to stick has two meanings. To stick means pegar. Pegar un sello en un sobre. To stick a stamp on the envelope. También es pinchar. To stick. Pinchar el tenedor en la carne. To stick the fork in the meat. All right, stick. But to stick around means quédate pegado por aquí, literalmente. Stick around. Don't go. Don't go away. No te vayas. Quédate. Stick around. And so I'm going to stick around for a while, I think, teaching English. But God didn't tell me that I would need to continue teaching English until age 150. He didn't tell me that. But in any case, for the past 6 months, I've been with Onda Madrid every Sunday, enjoying myself. Me lo paso pipa aquí. Really, I have a good time. I enjoy this. I do this for myself, not for you. Everything I've done in life is for me. So I'm very self-centered, right? Egocentric, maybe. because I enjoy life, and so I enjoy teaching English. I enjoy teaching English in the classroom. I enjoy teaching English on the radio. I enjoy teaching English on television. And I enjoy teaching English or giving talks about many different things. For example, next week, I'm going to give a talk in el colegio. ¿Cómo era? I can't remember. I'm going to give a talk in a colegio, in a secondary school in Pozuelo. And on the following day, I'm going to give a talk in a secondary school in Valdemoro, donde Pinto y Valdemoro. I need to check my agenda. Tomorrow or the next day, I'm going to give a talk also in a Swedish school, un colegio sueco. Yes. Strange, but it's with most of the students are Spanish. So it's strange. This coming week, I'm going to give talks in three schools. In one of them, to young, well, children, really, ages of 11 and 12 years old. And in the other ones, I think between 14 and 16 years old. So they're very young. And I do this sometimes. I give talks. I give talks to people of every age group. About, well, last December, I gave a talk in Segovia in the Academia de Artillería. Every year, every December, I go to Segovia to give a talk to the cadets, to the non-commissioned officers and to the officers, about 200, perhaps. And every year I go to Centro de Formación Profesional, to a vocational training institute in Canto Blanco, just north of Madrid. And I give a talk there on entrepreneurship, emprendimiento, because people in FEP are perhaps a good option is to become entrepreneurs. They learn a trade. They learn a trade, aprenden un oficio. Escrito trade, they learn a trade, and if they have an entrepreneurial spirit, then they can develop that trade into a business. You know, a plumber, fontanero, a plumber can, after 10 years, can have 10 plumbers, 15 plumbers, or maybe 100 plumbers working for them, if they have the entrepreneurial spirit and the know-how, el saber hacer, then the know-how of managing other plumbers. Like me, I started as a profesorito de inglés de a pie. I started as an English teacher in 1974. But I remember by late 1975, I had one teacher working for me. And in 1976, I had about eight. And in 1977, already I was reaching 14 teachers working for me, 13 or 14. And so I was beginning, you know, just as an English teacher. If an English teacher can create an empire, a plumber can create an empire. An electrician can create an empire. A modisto, you know, a seamstress, modista, a seamstress can create an empire. You just have to know your trade well. To know your trade is saber tu oficio. And do it well, good quality, and then to start generating business beyond what you can do by yourself, then you need to contract or subcontract additional teachers or additional plumbers or additional electricians or additional seamstresses. And in the end, presto, you have the molecules of a growing empire. Amancio Ortega began at age 14 in a camiseria in La Coruña. And by the time he was 37, he started Inditex 23 years later. And another 23 years later, suddenly he was famous as being very rich. But it took him 46 years to become one of the richest people in the world. But that happens with businesses. You start as a molecule, little by little. And by year number 20, it starts to become exponential sometimes if you continue giving quality. But I'm not here to talk about entrepreneurship. I'm here to talk about Madrid. 1985. Now I'm in 1985. Wow. Where was I in 1985? Well, I was in Madrid. I was living in Barrio de la Concepción, Virgen del Val, in a new house I bought the year before. Yes, 96 square meters. Yes. And I bought it for 4 million pesetas. With a 5-year, it was interesting, 5-year mortgage. Hipoteca 5 años, nada más. 5-year mortgage. And because I was making good money. I was earning good money. Se dice así, estaba ganando buen dinero. También en español se puede decir. Estaba ganando buen dinero. I was making good money. Because in 1985, I probably had maybe 30 teachers working for me, or 40 teachers, I don't remember. And my two most important clients, as I tell you every week, was John Deere Iberica Tractores, the tractors, and Ericsson, the telecommunications, Swedish telecommunications giant. And then I had also Fosforico Español, which is phosphoric acid, with enormous factory in Huelva. And I had Amper, the Spanish electronics and telecommunications company, and other smaller clients, many other smaller clients. It was an interesting... And my son was 1 year old, and my daughter was 5. Okay. And my daughter was starting kindergarten, but my son was still just 1 year old. And I remember in 1985... In the summer, when my son was 1 year old and my daughter was 5, we prepared to go to Texas, to the United States, where my parents were living, and to visit my parents in August or late July. And I remember my wife said to everybody, make sure your passport, tu pasaporte está en vigor, is your passport in force? Is your passport valid? And so we went to the airport, but for the first time I was taking my mother-in-law, con la suegra encima. I was taking my mother-in-law, so 5 of us, myself, my wife, my daughter, my son, and my mother-in-law, we went to the Barajas airport. And when we went through passport control, my wife's passport had expired. And it had expired. And they didn't allow her to board the plane. And it was strange because when this happens, if it's a normal person like my wife, well, they give them a special permit. But during those days, there was a problem. Había huelga de celo de los policías de aeropuerto. And they didn't allow her. And so my children, myself, and my mother-in-law boarded the plane. And the plane waited. The plane waited for about 30 minutes. And finally we took off and my wife left my wife in Spain and we flew to Dallas. Dallas, Texas. A nonstop flight from Madrid to Dallas. My poor wife, oh, she was crying, and she went, and she managed to she managed to renew her passport in 1 day. I mean, she went crying to the passport centers in Madrid, and sitting there until 10 o'clock at night, because my mother-in-law and I had to take care of my son who was only 1 year old. He was 15 months old. He was born in May 1984, and this was perhaps August, July, August 1985. So he was 14 or 15 months old. And he was a trasto, as usual, como debe ser. And But it was, and so my wife managed to get her passport renewed and bought a ticket from Madrid, Miami, Miami, Dallas. Yes. And she arrived one day before an important plane crash in the Dallas airport on the same flight from Miami. It was incredible. So my wife was perhaps fortunate. But I need to take a break, and I'll be right back, so don't go away.
¿Tienes previsto un traslado? Elige Estebaranz, porque no todas las mudanzas son iguales. Rapidez, garantía y seriedad, nuestros mejores argumentos. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz. A tu lado, transportando tus ilusiones.
Tu fin de semana con Onda Madrid Todo Música.
En las tardes del fin de semana, además del deporte.
Todo música.
Te ofrecemos todos tus recuerdos musicales.
Onda Madrid Todo Música.
Discos de oro, bandas sonoras, canciones que hablan de Madrid.
Allá donde se cruzan los caminos.
Y siempre con un 50% en nuestro idioma.
Tu fin de semana con Onda Madrid Todo Música.
Todo Música. Esto es Onda Madrid Todo Música con Pedro García de Val.
Todo Música, Todo Música.
E-Car Show, el mayor salón del automóvil híbrido y eléctrico, vuelve a Madrid. Novedades, test drive y charlas del 21 al 23 de marzo en el pabellón de cristal de la Casa de Campo.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, we're back together for our second segment. There are three segments. One is usually 20 minutes, 15. All right. So it's a pleasure to be back, and I was talking about 1985 and my trip with my mother-in-law and my wife and my two children, to Texas to visit my parents. Interesting trip. So my wife managed to make it to arrive in Dallas the following evening. All right. Boy, poor lady, poor thing. Pobrecita. Se dice en inglés, poor thing. Pobre cosa. Se dice, oh, poor thing. But it was her fault. She was busy making sure that my passport was up to date, and my children's passports and all the rest, and her mother's passport, and she didn't look at her own. And we also had the bad luck of a huelga de celo, which I don't know how to say in English. I don't know how to say huelga de celo. Maybe I can find out. Yeah. Yeah. How do you say in English huelga de celo? I think it's a slowdown strike. So huelga de desaceleración o ralentización. Y hacen todo con celo. How do you say huelga in English? Huelga de celo. You see. I don't know, a slow down strike? Yes, a go slow strike or a work to rule. Trabaja según regla. Work to rule. All right. And that we had we had the bad luck of coinciding in Barajas Airport. Hoy Barajas. Aeropuerto de Barajas Adolfo Suárez. O Adolfo Suárez Barajas now. The moment of a huelga de celo, a slow down strike or a go slow strike or a work to rule strike. It refers to the form of protest where workers deliberately reduce their productivity or follow the rules and regulations so strictly that it causes delays and inefficiencies without technically breaking any laws or engaging in an outright strike. Okay. And I was the beneficiary of this huelga de celo, of this slowdown strike. But in any case, so 1985 in Madrid. What was important in Madrid in 1985? A lot of things. I mean, Madrid was, first of all, the government was Felipe González. This was his, let's say, the third full year, because the first full year was 1983, because he took office The Socialist Party, the SOE, took office in December, I believe, in December 1982. So their first full year was 83, then 84, so this is the third full year. I remember the Minister of the Economy was Miguel Boyer. I remember that the Minister of Industry was Carlos Solchaga. I remember that the Minister of Justice was Fernando Ledesma. I'm trying to remember. And others, Javier Solana, I'm not sure if he was the minister. No, the Minister of Foreign Affairs was Fernando Moran, et cetera, et cetera. But in any case, I just don't remember. I don't have the names in front of me. So, but what was important? Well, Spain was bringing down its, it was the González government and the local governments and regional governments were working very hard to prepare the Spanish economy for entry into the European Economic Community, the EEC, as it was called. Now it's the EU. Now it's called the EU, the European Union. But Spain was entering the EEC, the European Economic Community, which on January 1st, 1986, Spain officially became a member, together with Portugal. I remember. Yes. What else? Well, Andalusia became an autonomy. Comunidad Autónoma oficialmente, became official. What else was happening in 1985? Well, GAL, you remember the Anti-Terrorist Liberation Group, Grupo Liberación Antiterrorista, Grupo Antiterrorista Liberación, GAL. Yeah, the González government was, I guess, angry that ETA was still causing all kinds of problems. I think maybe the socialist government thought that when they came to power, the Basque separatists would become more manageable. And apparently it wasn't the case. And so there was a war between the Basque terrorists and the central government. But what was more important, well, what also was very important was simply modernization. The Spanish economy was changing a lot in the mid 1980s, 1985, in part because of its upcoming integration into the EEC. Yes, there were a lot of improvements. I spoke about this last week and the week before, a lot of improvements in infrastructure and industrial growth. Also, there was what they call a reconversión industrial, you know, las huyas, the cuencas mineras, in the mining. The coal mines, Minas de Carbón, the coal mines in Asturias, the Altos Hornos, the steel industry, Industria Siderúrgica, in the Basque Country especially, in Cidesa, in ¿cómo se llamaba? In Asturias, also in Puerto Llano, in Ciudad Real, there were a lot of change, a lot of things were happening. Mr. Solchaga was very busy in the Ministry of Industry and things. And culturally was still La Movida Madrileña and things like when in Spain, but especially in Madrid, of course. And what was happening in Madrid proper? Yeah, urban modernization. Yeah. Yeah, still. Spain is always, Madrid is always with infrastructure projects. You know, you have buildings that are being, the outside, the what do you call it? The reforma de las fachadas, you know, the facades of the buildings, it's constant. I remember in probably 1985, one of my clients was Fosfórico Español, Ácido Fosfórico, que es un fertilizante. And I remember one of my students, Salvador Martín Cazorla, excellent man, Sevillano. No, Granadino, perdona. But his family was living in Seville. Ahí está. He was from Granada. But his family was living in Seville. But he flew every week. He flew on a Sunday evening. He flew from Seville to Madrid. He stayed in the Hotel Wellington from Sunday night to Thursday night. And then on Friday after lunch, he caught a plane back to Seville. And he told me he always coincided in the same plane with Alfonso Guerra, who, of course, was the vice president of the government at that time, and who commuted every week from Seville to Madrid and then back to Seville. And the only thing Salvador said, muy cortés. He's a very courteous man. They coincided in business class every Friday. But Salvador was a good guy. He was probably 60 years old. It's interesting about Salvador. But I remember he said one time, Madrid está con una limpieza de cara. I remember he said that, which means many, many buildings in Madrid in 1985, 86, were being the facade. La palabra fachada en inglés is facade, pero con cedilla. Es la única palabra en inglés con cedilla, que yo sepa. Facade, es una palabra francesa, facade. And it is true that andamios por en todas las calles, para las fachadas. And he said, limpieza de cara. It's a face wash. Madrid is undergoing a face washing. All right. But I remember Salvador. He had six children. And he was a widower. Un viudo. Viuda, we say widow. Como la viuda negra, black widow. Pero viudo, hombre, widower. Añadimos ER al final, widower. But he had six children between the ages of more or less 20 and 40. And none of them had gotten married, and none of them had any children. And I remember he was always complaining. He said, I don't tengo nietos. He said, I don't have any grandchildren. I want some grandchildren. Two of his children were members of the Los supernumerarios de no sé qué, some type of religious organization, so they were celibate. But the other four, no. And he told me one time, you see, fosfórico español was ácido fosfórico, phosphoric acid, very big, very, very important, one of the most important producers in the world of phosphoric acid. Era parte del Obonos Cross at that time. Later, in Fesa, in Fersa, and later in Fertiberia. But I remember they had an important, they had two very important contracts outside of Spain. One with India, the government of India, and another with the Soviet Union for ácido superfosfórico, all right, for the Ukrainian province and things. But in any case, he had a good relationship with the Ministry of Industry in Delhi, in New Delhi, the capital, New Delhi, India. He had some good friends there because every year he flew to New Delhi to negotiate the extension of the phosphoric acid contract. And one time he said to his six children, he said, if you don't give me a grandson or a granddaughter in the next 2 years, I'm going to go to my friends in New Delhi and I'm going to adopt a grandson or a granddaughter among the children in India, you know, maybe among the untouchables or something. I never found out if he carried out that threat to carry out a llevar a cabo esa amenaza. I never know. Because he retired about 1 year later. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. His English was not the best in the world, but his personality and his character were among the best in the world, I would say. Wonderful guy. But in any case, that was 1985, and he said, Madrid con una lavada de cara. And so that was true. A lot of things were happening in the 1980s. Very important. Despite the fact that I'm not socialist, I think the 1980s under the Gonzalez administration was a very good decade in general for economic growth, for infrastructure, with a lot of mistakes that were made, but a lot of good active actions were taken as well. And Madrid was a growing city, very cultural as well. Real Madrid won the league during the year of 84-85. It was the Quinta del Buitre al principio. That was the first year or the second year. I think it was the first year, La Quinta. They were very, very good when Butragueño was very young still. Because in 1986, the following year, was the World Cup in Mexico, if you remember. And in which Argentina defeated Germany, I think, in the finals with Maradona, La Mano de Dios, the Hand of God. You remember playing against England and one of the most famous goals. But that's 1986. I'll talk about that maybe next week. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it was a very good team, very interesting. And what else? Worldwide, what was happening? Well, for me, my business was going well. Nothing new, nothing special. I was simply growing every year, doing mailings and visiting new clients, potential clients, finding teachers and designing control systems in my company, and going every year to CIMO. CIMO is la Feria de la Informática in the Casa de Campo, más tarde in Juan Carlos I. But Casa de Campo, always very important. That was very, very important for me. Spending 1 or 2 or 3 days visiting the CIMO fair to make sure that my small growing company was well positioned or well prepared with control systems. But again, I need to take a break, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
Hey, Car Show, el mayor salón del automóvil híbrido y eléctrico, vuelve a Madrid. Novedades, test drive y charlas del 21 al 23 de marzo en el pabellón de cristal de la Casa de Campo.
Porque los toros son cultura, son arte, son espectáculo.
Los domingos de 11 a 12 de la noche, El Toril con Julio Martínez en Onda Madrid.
El domingo 30 de marzo, Madrid se tiñe de verde esperanza. Participa en la duodécima carrera de Madrid en marcha contra el cáncer. Elige entre dos recorridos, 10 kilómetros o 4 kilómetros y medio, con salida en la Plaza de Colón. Inscríbete ya en madridenmarchacontraelcáncer.org. Lo que hagamos hoy puede cambiar nuestro mañana. Todos contra el cáncer.
101.3 y 106 FM, Onda Madrid.
Hello again. Okay, we're back together for our last little segment. Yes, I was talking about 1985. Who was the president of the United States in 1985? Ronald Reagan. Who was the chairman of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union? Who was the leader of the Politburo? Mikhail Gorbachev. That was his first full year, his first year. Yeah. Gorbachev. And the first time they met was in 1985. Ronald Reagan went to Geneva. It's interesting. La palabra Ginebra in Spanish has three meanings. Ginebra is a city in Switzerland, a French-speaking city, Ginebra, Suiza. In English, we say Geneva. Escrito Geneva, pronunciado Geneva. Then also there's a drink, beber Ginebra. And we say gin tonic, for example. Gin, in English, no se dice gin tonic, se dice gin and tonic. Gin and, I can't, it's a Ginebra y tonica. Gin tonic, so gin is another word, Ginebra. But Ginebra has a third usage. You remember King Arthur and the Round Table, El Rey Arturo, La Mesa Redonda. Yes, his wife was Ginebra, you remember. So, but in English, we don't say gin nor Geneva. We say Guinevere. King Arthur's wife was Guinevere, and she fell in love with Sir Lancelot. Remember? Lanzarote. Guinevere. So if you want to say, for example, I saw Jennifer drinking gin in Geneva. I saw Guinevere drinking gin in Geneva. In Spanish, you would say, Vi a Ginebra bebiendo Ginebra en Ginebra. All right. You see, I learned Spanish intellectually and not in a natural way. And so when I see things, I analyze the Spanish language from a different angle than native speakers do. And so I come to these strange conclusions and strange creations playing with the language. It's like the expression, haré lo que pude. You know, I said, el verbo del perro del verbo arar. Haré lo que pude. Él aró lo que pudo. It sounds funny when you say haré lo que pude, but it's correct Spanish, using the verb to plow instead of the. So I play with Spanish like that because it's fun. It's fun. But in any case, 1985, we had Gorbachev. Also, it was the end of the Iran-Iraq war. You remember there was a war for almost 8 years between Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini. In English, we say Khomeini, como si fuera con K, Khomeini, and Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein decided to invade Iran. And it's very difficult to invade Iran because Iran is practically surrounded by mountains everywhere. So you have to, in order to reach the most important parts of Iran, you have to go over mountain ranges. Mountain range, una cordillera, una sierra larga, we say mountain range, escrito range, como rango, range. A mountain range, for example, the Andes is a mountain range in South America. The Himalaya is a mountain range in Asia. The Pyrenees is a mountain range that separates Spain from France, or the Iberian Peninsula from France. The Guadarrama is a mountain range. Well, the Guadarrama plus Gredos is a mountain range through central Spain. Mountain Rockies are a mountain range in the western United States. The Appalachians are a mountain range in the eastern United States. And more and more and more, etc. Yes, the Carpathians are a mountain range in Romania, parts of Hungary, and I think Slovakia. I don't remember. But in any case, so we say mountain range. And Iran is protected in many ways by mountain ranges. It's not easy to invade and successfully conquer Iran. I think only one person in history, or one group in history, has successfully invaded Persia, or Iran. I think that was Genghis Khan. Yes, I think it's the only one. Well, Alexander the Great, kidio yo. Yes. How many armies have successfully conquered what is today Persia, or Iran? Persia, no? Persia or Iran? Oh, well, I know that Genghis Khan did because the Mongols sacked Tehran. And, of course, Alexander the Great. Yeah, but I don't know of any others, but maybe. The Assyrian Empire, okay, los Asirios, okay. The Macedonians. The Arabs, of course, yeah. The Muslims, the Mongol Empire. Oh, there are many. All right. Even the Russian Empire, they conquered part of Persia. And the British Empire, part. Okay, but nevertheless, Saddam Hussein tried in 1978, 79. No. Yeah. And it was a mess. A big mess. And many, many poor Iraqi and Iranian young men died for no reason. And it ended in 1985. What else was happening? Oh, that, if you remember, it was the middle of the HIV crisis, AIDS, El SIDA, you remember. 1985 was one of the most one of the worst years for this virus because people were contracting the AIDS virus and there was nothing to combat it. Medical science was working night and day to try to find ways to cure it or to reduce its impact. Yes. King Hussein died in 1985, and the current king, Abdullah, took over at that time. So 1985 was a good year, and Madrid was a growing city, and Madrid is still a growing city. Madrid is a very popular city. Madrid is popular for many, many families, especially families with... Well, it's interesting. The people who are arriving in Madrid from Latin America, from Mexico to Argentina, there are basically two types. The people who are from the lower class or lower middle class, and then the very wealthy, you know, the upper class, and they're bringing money into Spain. Yeah. For example, they say in the Barrio de Salamanca, in certain other areas, you know, the area behind the Prado Museum, between the Prado and the Retiro Park, these areas are, the prices are going up because so many people from Mexico, Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, especially Venezuela and Mexico, I believe, are buying very nice flats and things, and so it's pushing the prices up. And then there are many people coming to Spain, but and to Madrid, of course, from the lower classes in Latin America as well. Spanish people are not having children. I don't know what the replacement rate is now. Yeah, what's the current birth replacement rate in Spain? I think it's around 1.3, something like that. 1.12, Dios mío. 1.12, the replacement level is 2.1. Every woman needs to have 2.1 children for the population to sustain itself at the same number. Now mothers in Spain, well, women, females are having 1.1 children born per woman. And it's a dilemma. It's interesting about what will happen. So the average age of people in Spain, the average age of the Spanish population is 43.1. That's in 2023. It's probably 44 now. Okay. So Spanish people are getting older. And there are fewer and fewer young people to pay the pension. My pension, no problem. I receive partial pension because I'm still working. But my children, when they reach age 67, perhaps, or 68, in 25 years, they will need a pension as well, I suppose. But I don't know who's going to pay that unless Spain imports people, which Spain is doing. I'm not a big fan of immigration. Well, I'm a fan of immigration, but I'm not a fan of massive in immigration, and especially illegal. Because it becomes a madhouse, and it becomes wild. But it's somebody, it's going to be immigrants who are going to pay my children's retirement pension. But something maybe will change. Until several years ago, I always criticized this fact that the Spanish females are not, or Spanish people are not, reproducing the Spanish blood stock, what we call it, ADN autóctono español. But now I don't. I stopped. Because with artificial intelligence and high tech, things are changing. And the paradigm could be changing. I don't really know yet. So I'm me callo. I'm remaining quiet now. Because it could be that We will not need mass consumption and mass markets to generate wealth in the future, and that it will be done. Many of the things will be done by robots, by artificial intelligence, by processes and things. I don't know. And we will be able to generate wealth. The question is generating wealth, productivity. Every country in the world needs to be productive in order to grow in a healthy and lucrative way. You have to have productivity. Now, if you don't have enough people, you suffer falls in productivity. But if those people can be replaced by machines or by artificial intelligence, by robots and things, well, I don't know yet. With nanotechnology and other microbiology and things, things are changing. Things are changing. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the fertility rate in Spain is very, very low. And it continues to fall. But this is true in practically every country in the world except sub-Saharan Africa. How many countries in the world are above 2.1 children per female? I really don't know, but I don't think very many. I don't think very many are. 52 countries. There are 190 countries. Only 52 have a total fertility rate above the replacement level of 2.1 children per woman. Okay. These nations are predominantly located in sub-Saharan Africa and in certain parts of the Middle East. Niger, Chad, the poorest countries, Niger, Chad, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, have some of the highest fertility rates globally. 6 children per woman. In contrast, of course, I think the lowest, what's the worst? The worst is, what's the lowest? I think it's South Korea, about 0.87. All right. The lowest, I think it's South Korea. But I don't know. Yes. As of 2023, 2 years ago, South Korea has the lowest fertility rate globally, with each woman having an average of 0.7 children. Wow. 0.7. So I think if we observe South Korea over the next 10 years, we can start maybe reaching some conclusions on what will happen in Spain and in many other countries. But once again, I'm out of time. The time is up. This party is over. But I've enjoyed my Sunday with you. And I hope to come back next Sunday and many, many Sundays in the future to speak to you in English and to enjoy your company. Take care.